Okay. Well, I'm also excited about the word I got for you today. And I've entitled today's message, Something's Fishy. I'm going to be talking about the unpredictability of God. Because as I have here, God has some wild ways He works to release His blessing into our circumstance. And we're going to drop into a story in Matthew 17 in just a few moments. I'll put that on the screen for you. But I want to remind you that God often moves in ways that you and I don't anticipate. A number of years ago, Mickey and I were in a season when we really had a bold step of faith that we were being led to take. Between us and seeing the fulfillment of what we believe God was calling us to do, there was a pretty good-sized mountain of debt that needed to be dealt with. It had to do with hospital bills where we got caught between coverage moving from one church to another. I won't go into all the details of that, but we had a need. And we felt like, well, Lord, if You're calling us to do that, this needs to be taken care of. We know what we got coming in. We know the size of this mountain. So, obviously, for that step of faith to take place, this needs to be dealt with. And so we just began to pray about it, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to do this in a way that you're not expecting. And it wasn't that a few weeks later that I had a man show up at church, came into my office, and he sat down. He said, I feel uncomfortable coming and sharing this with you. He said, but really, for the first time in my life, I feel like I heard God speak to me. And he said, he spoke to me about meeting someone's need. And he told me the amount. It was several thousand dollars. And he said, I don't know what to do with this. I just know the Lord told me I needed to come and share this with you. Well, we had been praying for several weeks about this, and I'm sitting there and I'm processing and I'm having this pride rise up. Well, Lord, this is self-serving if I make known to Him this need that you've led Him here, but I just feel like this would be a little self-serving. So I struggle and struggle, and He said, I need you to tell me what's on your heart, what's going on. The Lord told me I needed to come talk to you. And I finally said, well, brother, I said, this may not be what He's talking about. And I shared our situation. He started crying. He said, this was embarrassing. I didn't want to embarrass you, but I felt like it was you. Well, I'm their pastor, you know, and I've got a good situation. And so we both just sat there. I had tears in my eyes. And he said, I feel like the Lord's spoken to me. And he said, I'll get back with you. So in a couple of days, we had a knock on the door of our house, and he comes in, and he sits down with Mickey and me, tells her the story, and again, he's just got tears streaming. He said, you don't know how good this makes me feel to know that I heard God speak to me, and that I can be a part of what He's wanting to do in your life by being a blessing to you. And it was a big blessing. He wrote a check for several thousand dollars, gave it to us, and he's just like, I just can't thank God enough that I get to do this, you know. And I'll be honest with you, we struggled initially because it felt a little, but it was obvious that God did this. And He told me He's going to do it in an unexpected way. And He did. And He met that need. And I could follow that story up with numerous other times when God's done similar things. He just does that. And, you may think you've got your plan. And as I heard someone share recently that they gave Gloria Gaithard credit for this, but she said that you often encounter God in your interruptions, seldom in your plans. And I think there's some truth to that. That he doesn't always do things the way you think they ought to be done. He doesn't always chart His course by your plans you've laid out. And we often, we'll formulate our plans and we want God to bless them instead of finding out what His plan is and get in on His blessing. And that's part of what we're going to see today in Matthew 17. Now, in Matthew 17, Jesus has already had the transfiguration experience where Moses and Elijah appeared to Him. He's already come down from the mountain after praying up there with His disciples, and he comes down to where His disciples have been trying to cast a demon out of a young man who was having seizures. He rebukes them, and then he cures the young man. He delivers them. The demon came out. He was cured. And then Jesus shares with them the revelation that He is going to die. What the plan is coming down the pike. And, of course, they were taken back by this. Even though they had just been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah was talking to Jesus about His departure. So the Lord was getting His Son ready, and now He's sharing that with His disciples, and they're with their jaws dropped. Then we're told that they're in Capernaum, and there's some guys that come from the temple collecting tribute, collecting a tax. Let's jump into that story, Matthew 17, beginning with verse 24. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, now what that means is, before Peter could open his mouth and ask Jesus about this, Jesus just starts telling Peter about it. He got a word of knowledge. So he said, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea." Now this is amazing. Listen up. "Go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." Then it changes and goes on. We're not told the rest of the story, but we know the rest of the story. It happened just like Jesus had said. That's the reason that Matthew just leaves it there and goes on. Peter went and did it, caught the fish, paid the taxes for himself and Jesus, and then on to the next step. But it was a time when Jesus moved powerfully and miraculously to bring provision into a set of circumstances. And it was a blessing for Peter and for him and for the temple. Now, so let's clear the runway first before we jump into I want to talk a lot about this passage, but let's clear the runway first because I've already told you I want to talk about the unpredictability of God, and some of you may be thinking, but wait a minute, God's very predictable. Well, God is absolutely predictable. And God is often unpredictable. Both of those are true. Both of those are biblically true. Second set of statements. God is always faithful and just. God varies in how He does things. You see, God's always faithful. If you have a need, there's a promise for that. God is going to be faithful to meet that need. But He may meet that need in one of 1,000 different ways. And you can't predict how He's going to do that. Now, He's very predictable. I can nail it down. God is faithful. But I'm scratching my head trying to figure out just how God may bring the answer to this prayer. He's predictable. He's unpredictable. Third set of statements. God will faithfully provide for you. How God provides for you may greatly vary. So to sum this up, who God is, His attributes. God is kind. God is love. God is just. God is merciful. And on. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is ever-present. All of that, very predictable. That's who God is. And He says in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord God and I change not. I mean, He's not a man that He should lie. He is truth. So He's always predictable when it comes to His attributes and His character, who He is. But now, how He manifests those attributes and how He manifests His character, there may be a great variety of ways. He's all powerful. Well, that means He can do miracles. But how He brings it about in your life, it can be in many, many different ways. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. But how He brings it to you, it may greatly vary. Take Elisha, if you will. He used ravens to feed them. Another time, an angel fed Elijah. Another time, God used a poor widow woman who was down to her last little meal she had, and God used her to feed the prophet as well as herself and her son for a long period of time. God has a variety of ways to get your provision to you. That's unpredictable. And it's not like He's sitting up in heaven saying, I need you to tell me how to do this. But He is sitting in heaven saying, I watch over my word to perform it. Return my word to me that I watch over, and it won't return to you void. You see, God's ways, Isaiah 55, are not our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Simply put, you are not, neither am I, nor anyone else, as smart as God is. The time when you think you've got Him figured out, you're about to get a big lesson coming your way. Because He's God and we're not. We serve Him. He's faithful. He's predictable when it comes to His attributes and His character. But He is unpredictable when it comes to how that may manifest in your life and your circumstance. So today's title, Something Fishy. Something's up. Something doesn't seem normal here. Something seems maybe out of kilter. Well, a lot of times when God's moving, you may find yourself in that. Well, is this God? And we're going to talk about this morning, because here's the goal. When we leave here today, that we will understand that God is predictable, He is faithful, but we will be open to how God may move and work in our life, how God may want to bring something about in our life, lest we be found striving, working, and contending against God. There's something about, though He slay me, I'm going to trust Him, that Job declared. You know, this may not turn out just like I'm wanting it to, but I'm not going to doubt who He is. Three Hebrew children. Whether God delivers us or not, I do not know. They didn't know if God was going to bail them out or not. But they said, in either case, we are not going to bow to this idol. You see, they understood. They knew who God was, and they weren't going to back off their faith in this God whom they knew. But they left room for God to do what God wanted to do, the way God wanted to do it. I believe sometimes we miss out on the blessings because we don't recognize them when they're right before us. So may God use this to that end today, to help us recognize where and when and how He is moving. Now, when this situation occurred about the temple tax, literally it says when the men came who were asking about the didrachmas, is the Greek word, two drachmas, if you will. Drachma was Roman coinage, and that was how much the temple tribute was a didrachma. And they asked Him about it. And does Jesus pay the didrachma? Everybody knew what that meant when you were asked. Well, that's the temple tribute. It wasn't a Roman-mandated law, but it's backed up by the Old Testament during the days of Moses. But beyond the tithes and the offerings, they would give a tribute to the temple to help pay for the sacrificial animals, the meal, the salt, the different things they would use in offering the sacrifices. That's what it was used for. And so does Jesus pay the temple tax? And so Peter says yes before he's talked to Jesus about it. He goes in the room, and this is really kind of a setup if you think about it. Peter's coming in. He's already told him, yes, Jesus is going to pay it. And he's got to go in and talk to Jesus about this. Hey, they're needing the temple tax, and I told them you're going to pay it. He walks in the room, and before he can open his mouth, which he was good about doing, when he walked into the room, Jesus said, what do you think about the kings of the earth? Do they get customs or tributes or taxes from their sons or from strangers? Now, what he was saying is, do the king's kids have to pay this, or is it just people outside of the king's family? Well, Peter, yes, strangers, those that are not the sons. Then therefore, Jesus said, the son's free. Now, whose house were they talking about when they talked about the temple? The Father's house. Who was the Father's son? Jesus was. So he's like telling Peter, the son's free. Now, if he had stopped right there, Peter's thinking, well, I just told them you were going to pay it. And now I'm putting two to two together, and you're saying you don't have to pay the tribute to the temple because that's your daddy's house. Didn't he say in my father's about his father's business? So, but then Jesus amazingly says, but lest we offend them. Scandalon's the word. He said, we'll pay it. But Jesus had options. He could have ignored it. He could have told Peter. He could have just stayed right there. I'm the son. This I'm not bound to this. Other people, we're not going to do it. Just ignore them. He didn't do that. He could have claimed his divinity. You know, I am the Son of God. And this is now the temple that's going to be destroyed and raised up. He could have went at that line of thought, but he didn't. He could have used the purse. John tells us that the disciples had a purse. You know, Judas kept it and stole out of the purse. He could have just said, okay, Peter, yeah, Judas, go see Judas, and he'll give you the didrachma to pay my tax. But he didn't do that. He could have chose to offend them. Like, you know, I don't care if they're offended. Just let them go away mad. I don't care what they say about me. I'm not going to. But he didn't do that. He chose to honor that custom rather than create offense. Now, that's a whole message there. There are times when there's things you don't have to do. You could say no to. You don't have to do. But wisdom tells you, you're better off to go ahead and do that so it won't create this issue that's going to cause you more time and trouble and aggravation than it would just to be honorable and do this. We all have to do that at times, and sometimes we get stubborn and refuse to, and we end up what we could have handled for a nickel, we spend a dollar on as far as our time, energy, and so forth. So Jesus modeled something for us here about honoring. Sometimes sometimes people just have to be offended if it comes to having to compromise the truth or violate your integrity, those kind of things. That's different. He could have just chose to offend them. But he chose to use, this is real important, he chose to use Peter's skill set combined with his skill set. What was Peter doing when Jesus called him, quote, into the ministry? He was a fisherman. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus chose to handle the situation by using Peter's skill set. That was Peter's. He was a fisherman. He knew how to cast a net in the water. He knew how to drop a hook in the water. They were there by the Sea of Tiberias there in Capernaum when this took place. So he probably knew the best fishing spots. That was his skill set. So in other words, I'm going to use what you know how to do, what your natural skill set is. I'm going to use that to meet this need, but I'm going to add something to it. I'm going to add my skill set to your skill set. Now, what was Jesus' skill set? Well, he was good with words of knowledge. That's the reason he could tell Peter what was on Peter's mind when Peter walked in the room. Jesus operated in a word of wisdom. That's the reason he said, you know what? Let's not offend those guys. God's got something he's going to do, and so rather than offend them, we're going to go this way. So he had a word of knowledge. He had a word of wisdom. Then he had a gift of faith operating. You know what? I'm going to send you fishing. And he's putting some faith that Peter's going to go and he's going to drop the hook in the water. And then he's got miracles working. Gift of miracles here. Why? Because at the very least, it's a miracle of timing. Now, I don't know the odds. The Vegas people might could figure this out. Of going to the Sea of Tiberias, dropping a hook in the water, catching a fish, being able to say it's going to be the first fish that you catch, and also catching a fish that one of a couple or three things has happened to. Now, that fish... fish like glittery, shiny things. I don't know. Maybe when Jesus was walking on the water, a shekel fell out of his pocket. I don't know. Or when those disciples were rowing across and they were being towed to it, maybe some of the coins got out of Judas's purse. Or it could have been somebody else at some other time that they lost a coin while at sea and the fish just happened to see that shiny thing and gulped it. Or the God who made the sea, the God who made the earth that contained the sea and the God that made the fish that's in the sea could also just speak to the fish and say, fish, you now have a coin in your mouth and there it is. Now, if I had to speculate, and it is sheer speculation because I don't know, neither do you know, just how that coin ended up in that fish's mouth. But I would speculate that it had something to do with restoration. It wouldn't even surprise me if that was money that was designated for the temple that's now been restored and going back to the temple. Who knows? But Jesus, through miracle, maybe created miracle power, miracle of timings, this fish at that place, at that time, that has this coin. And not only a coin, but a coin... the Greek word, the fish will have a coin in its mouth, it is not the word didrachma, it's the word strata, which is the equivalent of a Hebrew shekel, which is 2 didrachma, or 4, or tetradrachma, actually. In other words, 4 drachma, which was the exact amount needed. Now notice this, the exact amount needed to pay not only Jesus' temple tax, but Peter's. Because Peter acted on the word, he got a double blessing. Not only did he get a coin to pay Jesus' temple tax, he got money to pay his own temple tax. So, and when I was studying this, I know this is coming out of the word, the principle, but I really feel God's breath on it for our house right now, is that God wants us to live with a keener sense of knowing that he wants to add his skill set to your skill set. Whatever he's given you to do, you may be a healthcare worker. You may be a backhoe operator. You may be a truck driver. You may be an accountant. You may be a school teacher. You may be an engineer. You may be a brain surgeon. You may work at NASA. You may be in the world of commerce. You may be a business owner. I believe the word of the Lord out of this, one word out of it for us this morning specifically, is to live with the awareness that God wants to add the element of the supernatural to your natural skill set. It will take what you're already able to do well to a whole nother level, because you're inviting the kingdom into what you've already been skilled to do. Some of it may be natural talents. Some of it may be learned skills. Maybe you're a homemaker. You've got a skill set. God can add the supernatural to your natural skill set and take it to a whole nother level. Again, you see a double blessing here. Jesus not only paid his tax, but it ultimated in enough money for Peter to pay his as well. Now, there's other times that Jesus did stuff like this when he told them to cast their net on the other side and they got the mother load of fish. There's a lot of fishy business in the Scripture. I mean, one time the Lord had a fish swallow a man. Yeah, right? How many of you believe Jonah swallowed a whale? I got you. But God does stuff like that. Have a whale swallow a man. Have a fish swallow a coin to meet a need in Peter's life and Jesus' life, where the pinch was put on Peter about the temple tax. Saved him from having the frustrating situation to deal with. Sometimes by allowing God, inviting God to add the supernatural to your natural, you can avoid a lot of frustration and irritation in your life. Sometimes what you need to avoid offending someone may be that word of wisdom that comes. You're allowing God to add the supernatural to your natural. I was praying for a word of knowledge this morning before we left the house because Mickey lost her glasses. She's got on option B today, but she prefers option A, and we couldn't find them. So I've learned, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know where they are. And he still knows, and I don't. You know, it's not like a slot machine. But sometimes you have not because you ask not. I've had times when that kind of stuff's happening, and you rack your brain, you look everywhere, then you think, you know what? Hey, I'm a preacher. It might not be a bad idea to pray about this. Lord, you know where that is. And as soon as it gets out of your mouth, a picture pops in your mind, and you go, and there it is. I had that happen one time when Nikki lost her diamond engagement ring. And we couldn't find it anywhere. And this was back in my Baptist days. And I prayed and I said, Lord, I know you know where that ring is. And he said, you need to look in the dryer. I ended up taking that dryer apart. And you know, we found that ring. I don't know how it got there, but we found it. He knows what we don't know. He sees what we can't see. This is an amazing story of all the different ways he could have ensured that temple tax was paid. He chose to do it in a most amazing, miraculous way. And people still think it's fishy. I believe it with all my heart. I mean, just as sure as I'm standing here, Peter went down. He dropped that hook in. Now, he may have used his skill set. Now, I know where that honey hole is. And he drops his hook in, got a bite, pulls it up, opens his mouth, pulls out that shekel. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And God's not a respecter of persons. I'm just saying, maybe we should expect those kind of things happening in our life. I'm just saying, maybe more of those kind of things would happen if we would learn to expect the unexpected. So, let me share this list with you about expecting the unexpected. He will often do things in a way you do not expect. One of the greatest revivals I saw in my Baptist days was unexpected. I know I've told this a couple of times through the last 20 years, but we had scheduled a revival from a friend of mine that was a former Hell's Angel evangelist. He got sick, couldn't come. And on his recommendation, he said, I got a friend I'm going to send. Well, if he's anything like you, Brother Gene, send him on. Saturday evening, I got a call. Saturday evening came, and we got a call from Brother Gary. That's the guy that was coming from Oklahoma. I'd never met him, didn't know anything about him other than Brother Gene said, he'll do you a good job. And I love Brother Gene. So we had the call. And he said, I gave him the address of the church. I said, I'll meet you down there. I think it was 5 p.m. on Saturday. So 5 p.m., I go down there, and I'm looking for the evangelist. And there's a guy, he's got hair down to right here. He's got on a pair of gym pants, sweatpants, and a white T-shirt that could have used some time in the washing machine and dryer. And I thought, now here's a guy, he's needing help, and my evangelist is not here. So I go up and I said, sir, can I help you? He turned around and he said, you Pastor Eddie? Yeah, I'm Gary. It's my evangelist. Oh, my goodness. I'd like to have a snapshot of what I look like. Now, I'm admitting pride. I'm admitting arrogance. I'm just telling you the truth. And I paid the price for it. I mean, the Lord stripped me down good about this and taught me a lesson that he will often do things in a way you do not expect. And often, it's because he will often use people that you would not choose. Pastor Eddie had a gold tooth shining right there. I said, yeah. He said, I'm Gary. Told me his full name. And I said, well, welcome to Haleville, brother. And I was just kind of stunned because this is self-disclosure. I'm thinking, tomorrow morning, I'm going to introduce him to our congregation. And I'm thinking, because I had to wear a shirt and a tie, which is fine. I didn't have a problem. That was part of the requirements. I'm thinking, I wonder if he's got a tie. What does it matter if he's got a tie? Well, it mattered. In those days, it mattered. Because I'm thinking about, when they see him, what are they going to think about me? Right? Because I hadn't learned this really well yet. That God will often use people that you would not choose. Oh, my goodness. We went and we ate a meal and I got him in the hotel and I came home. Moment of disclosure. I told Mickey, I said, I'm in trouble. I said, you're not going to believe who this evangelist is. You're not going to believe. And I told her. I described him. And I laid in bed trying to go to sleep that night. And I remember telling her, why would he not get a haircut? I mean, does he not know that people are going to be offended? And And I'm thinking, you know, oh, it's a fear of man. Just scared. Afraid. Like, and plus, I didn't know him well. And then I found myself, why would Brother Gene do this to me? I trusted him. He vouched for this man. Why would he do this to me? Why would he send him all the way from Oklahoma? This is going to be terrible. I was prophesying, didn't even know it. I was prophesying. I had the devil's megaphone right up to my lips, and I was a prophesying. Thank God for his mercy. Well, next morning came, and I picked him up at the hotel. He had on a jacket and a tie, had on, you know, kind of dress clothes, and I felt a little bit better, except for that hair that was down to right here, laying off his shoulders. I'm talking about the guy I used to be, okay? So, got up, introduced him. Oh, Lord, help us, you know. He got up. It didn't take him 10 minutes. He started sharing his testimony. He started talking about what Jesus had done in his life. He started talking about how Jesus... He said, I know some of you may not be used to seeing a preacher with hair down to here. He said, but where you're going to find me is down in the streets, the highways and byways, and I'm talking to people that wouldn't give you the time of day. And I'm leading them to Jesus. This is God's call on my life. And he just started sharing Jesus. He gave the invitation that morning, and here they came down this aisle and that aisle, coming up, people getting saved, people getting right with God. And there was one brother in the church. You know, you just don't have a brother or sister or two. And there was one brother that, how can you say it? Every saddle's usually got a cuckaburr under it, you know. After the service, I saw him coming. He came right up to me. His lips were trembling. And I thought, my goodness, he's really mad. He got right up. He said, Pastor Eddie. Then I saw tears. He said, I had never seen anything like this in my life. He said, I want to ask you something. I thought, well, I guess it's coming now. He said, would you ask Brother Gary if I could take him downtown tomorrow and buy him a new set of shoes, a new pair of shoes? I've just noticed he could really use a brand new, and I'd love to take him. This is God. I mean, I'm serious. I'm seeing God. He dressed me down and he taught me something. God will use people you would never choose. I ought to have sense enough to know that, because it's right in the Bible. He doesn't choose the wise things. He'll use the base things to confound the wise, the foolish things to confound the wise. And if I'd just done a little redneck math, I would have known, well, if he can use me, he can use anybody. Pride keeps us from seeing things the way they really are. But we had an awesome move of God that week. Went to the school, saw a ton of kids saved. Because God will often use people that you would not choose. And the man that recommended him to me was a former Hell's Angels. And I got a brochure in the mail one day a few years earlier than that, looked at it, called him and talked to him, and he told me he'd been divorced. I threw it in the trash, kicked out of the boat, so to speak. But I want to tell you, I can tell you time after time that God has used someone I might not have chosen to really align my life, refresh my life, renew my life, bless my life. People you wouldn't think hearing from the Lord, they get the word of the Lord, and you learn. God chooses whom He wants to use. God will speak to whom He wants to speak to. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. He spoke to Peter through a rooster. He spoke to Jonah through a worm. He's speaking to Peter again through a fish. My goodness. He might even speak to you through me this morning. Because He will often use people that you would not choose. Now, that doesn't mean you throw discernment out of the boat. If anything, it means you better walk in discernment, because you might reject who the Lord is sending. He will often surprise you with something better than you expect. I believe there's a principle buried down in that statement. That often, we'll get it all figured out, and we'll be real precise, and by faith, we'll put a limitation on God. Sometimes we don't believe big enough. Sometimes we don't allow our big dreams to ever be hoisted. Well, how could that ever happen? With God, all things are possible. If God's birthing it, God will bring it forth. God will raise it. God will help it mature. God will help the purpose He had in it to be fulfilled. He will often surprise you with something better than you expect. There's no way old Pete, when he walked in that door, going to ask Jesus about paying the temple tax. He had no heavenly or earthly idea. He didn't go in there thinking, you know what? I'd love to go fishing today and catch me a fish that had money in its mouth. That wasn't even on his radar. But it was on God's. And you know what? Peter had to exercise his faith to walk that word out. He went a-fishing. Now later, Peter would fail. And with a wrong motivation, he says, I'm going a-fishing. I'm going to go back to what I used to do. But this time, he's going fishing on a word from the Lord. When the Lord sends you fishing, if you're going fishing on the word of the Lord, you need to expect you're going to catch what the Lord says you're going to catch. Now, you apply that to your circumstance, your situation. I used the term apostolic talking earlier up here before the message. That just simply means to send out, to send forth. It means more than that, but that's the simple, basic meaning, to be sent. His apostles are the men that he chose, and he sent them out. Two by two. God will often surprise you with something better than you expect. When you're going on business for God, the sky's not even the limit. He can blow your mind, knock your socks off, bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. But he does that according to the power that works in you. Let it work. Another thing, he will often take longer than you think he ought to take. I know it's been sounding really good, but this is just as much true as anything I've said. David had the oil running off his brow. Little did he know it would be 20 years before the crown would be put on his head. Joseph had the dream of his future. Little did he know it would be 20 years later after being thrown in a hole and left to die by his brothers and sold into slavery and accused of rape and then ended up in prison, interpreting dreams forgotten before he would be exalted to the place that God had spoken in a dream. He will often take longer than you think he ought to take. We're not told how long Peter fished till he caught that first fish. He may have threw it in, caught it back in 15 minutes. He might have fished all night. We don't know. But I would imagine faith had him fish until he caught the fish. Don't give up. Well, that must not have been God. I mean, I got that word 2 weeks ago and it hadn't happened yet. Yep, that's the classic mark of being a westernized Christian. We want it now. We're not on dial-up anymore. We are 5G Christians. We want it right now. He will often do things in a way that eliminates our bragging rights. Man, we had a great revival. Pastor Eddie, he's really a wise man to call this man from Oklahoma in here. Well, everybody saw quickly that that's probably not who I would have called in here. I knew that more than anybody. I mean, my bragging rights were stripped away. But God does things in a way often it eliminates our bragging rights. I mean, when it happens God's way, nobody else can take the credit for it. And you need to have the hot potato mentality when it comes to trying to put your hands on something that God should get the glory for. But he will often do things in a way that eliminates our bragging rights. How'd you pay those temple taxes, Peter? Well, you know, I'm known for my high-level thinking skills. And I figured I could go down that certain place on the lake and the way the tide was going. And I heard about somebody losing some money about 3 miles upstream. And I figured out that I could throw my... No, who does that make sense to? God had to do that. God had to do that. He will speak to you in different ways by different means. Hear this, people. Because I have made this mistake, and we all can be prone to it. When God does move in a way like that, and something tremendous happens, the next time something like that happens, we're ready. We've seen how it works, and so we're just going to work it. Because you've seen how it works, and you think you can just work it, it don't work that way this time. Because remember that previous point, God will work in a way to eliminate your bragging rights? It's not because of your ability to learn how God did what He did last time that it happens the next time. It always happens. Revelation happens by the initiation of God Himself, and it operates by faith, and His ways are beyond our ways. He'll speak to you in different ways by different means. In the Scripture, you see this. Now, always be in the Word. God will speak to you through the Word. But you don't always get to choose what chapter and verse, do you? You just read the Word. And He'll choose which verse He's going to speak to you out of. There's times when people have gotten messages from angels. One group, one night at a party, got a message by seeing a handwriting on the wall. I'm glad I wasn't at that party. God's got different ways. Dreams, visions, gifts of the Spirit, circumstances, miracles of timing. So we just have to be open. To know He's God, He can do it however He wants to, and just to be open and be a people of faith who are trusting Him because we know who He is. And we hold our hands like this when it comes to Him deciding how it's going to be done. It's so important we know who God is. And it's so important that we realize what God does is by His initiative. And I'm not saying, well, I'm praying by faith, He's going to answer my prayer. Yes, but how He chooses to answer, you live like this. You live like this. I want you to stand with me this morning. I'm not saying you're going to leave here today and go down the Tennessee River and catch a fish and pay your mortgage this month. But I will say, if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and do what Peter did when he was aware of the need, he went into the presence of Jesus. And no sooner was he there that Jesus started talking about what he is going to do. Go to Jesus with your problem and listen. Let him direct you. Obey what he tells you to do, and he'll never speak contrary to his word. He'll never speak in a way that violates who he is, his character. But with those guardrails, what an adventure will await you. Some of the most bizarre, crazy stories are in this room right now of how God led, spoke, and directed, and yet the power of God came into a moment that changed someone's life. And I pray that those kind of moments began to happen in the lives of this congregation like microwave popcorn popping. Why not? Why not? Why not? Could we give the Lord, we don't have to give Him permission to do anything, but can we give the Lord our hearts and say, Lord, I'm open to you today. I want to bring my skill set and offer it to you. and ask you to add the supernatural element to it today. I want to partner with you, Lord, for the adventures and miracles and breakthroughs and answers to prayer that lie ahead in my future. Just tell Him, have your way, Jesus. Confess your trust in Him. Lord, I'm trusting You today. What is your need? What breakthrough do you need? What miracle are you needing? Trust Him with that in these moments. I know we've already had ministry time, but corporately, I decree and declare over your lives this morning that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord who led Peter to the fish with a coin in its mouth will lead you to the provision that you have need of. He sees all. He knows all. And He leads you. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Make time to hear the voice of the Lord. Quieten yourself. Push away the distractions. Give the Lord an occasion to speak to you. Be pliable. Be ready to die to some flesh. Get ready for some big gulps where you have to swallow your pride and humble yourself. But also be ready for a miracle. Be ready for a breakthrough. Be ready for God to invade your life. He's unpredictable. And yet, so predictable. He's our God. He changes not. But He puts coins in fish's mouth. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. Thank you for this story. Thank you for what it means to us and has meant through all these years to many people who were between a need and the resource to meet the need. You showed up and brought the two together and got the glory for it. Need before the Lord. And just tell Him, Lord, here I am. Here is my need. You're already aware of it. But I'm listening. I'm going to do what I can do. But I ask You to lead me and bring that supernatural element into the natural for my breakthrough. My answered prayer. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members just to come back up and be standing here. I'm going to dismiss the service in a moment. But I want you standing here in case there's others here that you need prayer now. You may not have known it earlier, but you need prayer now. These will be here. Some of you, the Lord may be leading you to say, become a part of Grace House. You've got that little connect card in front of you. Fill that out. Just check the box, I want to become a member. If you need to be baptized, you can check that box. Put it in one of the offering boxes, and our staff will get those, and we'll be following up with you. You can also come and share those needs face to face here at this altar. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Just say that out loud. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your peace. You are so good. Say that louder with me. You are so good. One more time. You are so good. And I praise You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being at Grace House this morning. This altar's open. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Midweek service, 6:30 here on Wednesday night. God's blessing to you.